So, Juan Postigo, good to be with you. Tell me where you are today. I can see a few trophies in the background anyway.
Yes, I'm in my bedroom right now, so I'm home here in Santander.
Great. And how's the practice?
It has been great. We've worked so hard during this year, and I think we have found something special now. So I think my game has been growing up in the last few years, but this year has been special for my game, so I think it's going to be a big explosion in the next few tournaments.
Great. And you've had a good summer as well this year, haven't you?
Yeah, this year has been very good during all year. I won the Spanish Disabled Championship, and I won the European Championship again in Troia, which was a great week of both. And then I won here in Pedreña, one of the most powerful events of amateur golf in Spain. So it was an amazing tournament that I won by 7 shots with the second player. So it was quite a good week of golf also.
Brilliant. I'm going to come to more of your golf in a few minutes, but I'd like to just get a kind of a background on you, Juan. And so can you tell me a little bit about your family? I mean, were they all particularly sporty, your family and the people around you, the circle of friends that you had?
Yes, you know, my family, I think they all love sport. My dad has been a very good skier. My uncle has been a great sailor. I mean, I've been around the sport. And I think they thought for me it was necessary to be an athlete also. So I've been always around sport. All my brothers and sisters make some different sports. So we are all together. I'm the golfer, but all of them do different sports.
Did any of them play golf, really?
Well, my granddad was the one that taught me playing golf. Then he tried to taught my other brother, but one of them played some golf sometimes. He's got a very good swing, but it's not his game.
Right. And did you play many other sports as a youngster, or was it always golf?
No, I started playing golf quite late. I loved football, and I played very good football. Then I loved skiing. My skiing was one of my favorite sports. I also played tennis. I've been sailing for a long time, and I really enjoyed sailing, and I had a good level there. And then at the age of 12, 13 years, I discovered, well, my granddad discovered me the great game of golf, and then I, you know, it was one of the games that since I got my first club, I felt I was going to play good. So I think that's why I really enjoyed it.
Tell me what you really liked about golf when you got started. It would be nice to play with your granddad, I'm sure, and for your granddad to introduce you to the sport. But what was it about the game that really turned you onto it?
Well, I really, as I told you before, I've played a lot of different sports. But in golf, I could, since first moment, I found that we can play against anybody. I mean, I played with my granddad. Then I played with juniors. And it's one of the games that our disability it's out, because we play in the same conditions, the same golf courses. Because when I was sailing, I had a different boat. Or when you are playing football, you are very different conditions. But when you are playing golf, you are in the same conditions as anybody else. So I think that's what makes this game the greatest ever existed.
Yeah, absolutely. Can you tell me a little bit about your disability, Juan?
Yes, of course. It's a very simple story. It's not as good as the other ones, but I was born without my right leg. So I always have been like this. I used many different prostheses. My parents tried to make me live a good life, but you know, in my case, it was very difficult to use prosthetic. Yep. So at the moment, I didn't use it. But, you know, I live good life without it.
Do you have a knee in that leg or not?
No, I don't have a knee. I have a little stump at the level of my left knee, but it's not a knee.
Okay. You've now started to play golf and you start to progress. And where were you playing at that time?
I started playing here in Santander in Abra del Paz, which is my main golf course. And, you know, in my area, you know, the aura of the greatest man in golf, Seve, was all around. So when I started playing golf, my granddad always told me about the story of Seve. So then I was a very bad golfer, but I was a freak of the game. You know, I love watching videos, and I really I little bit of my great improvement was because of him, because watching those videos and I get that motivation I had. So my granddad and the image of Xavier on the background was great.
You play now at Pedrena from time to time. Can you remember the first time that you played at Pedrena? Because if Seve was your hero, to go to Pedrena for the very first time, to just drive up the driveway and to go to the golf club must have been quite some kind of special experience for you.
Of course. I played Pedrena almost 9 years ago now. Well, no, 9 years ago right now, in August of 2009. I was invited there, and I was in the first tee, and the man that invited me says, "You know, you see that house over there?" I said, "Yes, that's Xavi's house." So my hands start shaking a little bit. So it's one of those golf courses which is a very different experience, a different era. You know, I mean, it's not a usual. It's like when you are in St. Andrews and on this kind of golf courses, so it's very different to play there than any other place.
I must say, I played with you last year and really enjoyed it. I thought it was great. In fact, probably about a year ago, just about now, because I think it was in early September. And certainly it does have a different atmosphere. And you definitely looked at home there. You look like you feel as though you're part of it there, and you certainly seem to enjoy it. So as you progress, so you said you were a very bad golfer when you first got started, but I think most people don't play very well when they get started, but you actually progressed pretty quickly, because I remember seeing you play a European Championship or a Spanish Championship, I don't remember what it was, quite a few years ago. So even as a 16, 17-year-old player, you were a pretty good player then. So what sort of handicap would you be when you were 14, 15 years of age?
When I'm 14, I was 30 handicap, maybe 30, and then next year I was 18, next year I was 9, next year I was 4, next year I was 2, and now I'm 1. So the progression was unbelievable, you know, I mean, it was great. And you have to know that I started playing with my prosthetic on my right leg, and then on 2013 we decided not to play with it anymore because some problems in my leg. So we restart playing the game. We reinvented our swing. So it was hard that moment when we get a little bit stuck. But then when I get used to it, I really had my handicap down again. So that's when I got my biggest level, when I start playing without my leg, because I really start feeling that I was free to play my golf.
Tell me a little bit about the people that you've worked with. So you've worked with some coaches, I assume. And I know that you work very hard on your physique. I know you're in the gym quite regularly, but have you got kind of a little bit of a team that you've got around you now that helps you to play the golf that you play today?
Yes, I have a very big team at the moment. I mean, I've got my hit coach, which is Santiago Carriles. He's from Pedrena, from the town. He's one of these mans that really feel golf, that really know about the game. Not very technique, maybe. But you know, with something in the hands, and he told me everything with very simple words, which really helped me. Then I've got Raquel Ortega, which is my physical coach, which has been with me for 7 years right now. Then I've got my physio, my nutritionist. So it's quite a big team. Which without them, I think this is impossible to get there.
What have you learned about yourself through golf,
one? I learned that I have to be a little bit more patient. That sometimes I have my blood is burning sometimes. So as good as Spanish that I am, but I'm getting to know that about myself. So I'm improving a lot with that. So I think that's why I'm getting something special this year, I think, because I'm getting more calm and I'm getting colder. So I think that's what I learned, you know. I'm a bit impulsive sometimes.
I'm going to go back again now to when you were at school, and you would be a little bit different because you're at school with one leg. What was it like at school, and did you have any issues with at school with the kids that were there?
I have to say that I never had any issue, you know, but because I think that was because my parents really since first time they told me that I was different to the other one. So I really had that on me. So then when anybody at school sent me something about my disability, I knew that they've got the reason. I mean, I knew I was different. So when you normalize that situation, anybody can make you anything, you know. I mean, if you have it with you, they can say whatever they want, but it's true, they got the reason. So I never had any problem at school.
I think I know the answer to this because we've spoken about it and we've played together. But I think for many people, when they see somebody walking on the golf course with one leg, they automatically think that there may well be some specific moments on the course that are particularly difficult. You make most of the time on the golf course look pretty easy because of the way that you play. But do you feel any moments on the golf course that are a little bit more difficult for you?
That can be a bit more difficult, you know, maybe a bunker in the fairway, a ball below feet or above feet, but nothing special about any other players. Maybe a little bit more difficult, but it's the same situation. Again, same situation. Not anything special.
What does golf mean to you, Juan?
Right now, maybe it's where my life is turning around. So it's maybe the center of my life with my family. So it's really big. It's grown a lot in a few years. So for me, it really means a lot. I mean, I work for golf. I love golf. This is my hobby. I got all my friends around the game. So it's quite the center of many things of my life.
You mentioned earlier that you won in Trier, yeah, for the second time, to be the European Individual Championship for the second time. This time, the championship was underneath the EGA banner as their European Championship. Can you tell me a little bit about what it's like to go to Trier as the defending champion and then have the pressure of that and go ahead and win it for a second time?
Yeah, to win the first EGA European Disabled Championship, I think it's part of history. I mean, that's the first point. And the week we spent there in Trier was very special. To get that gold medal was, you know, it really meant a lot for me and for Spanish national team also. You know, all the federation is really happy to have the tournament underneath the EGA. And so it was very special to all of us. And of course, the organization was great, as it's always is with EGA. So it was a great tournament, and it's very good for us to see that they will make the effort to support us, which I think it's fair. It's nothing. It's fair. It has to be like that because we are golfers as anybody else. So it's fair. It was hard to get there. You know, I mean, we were all year preparing that championship, and I was really playing good golf during that week. But I could feel myself a little bit more nervous than in really other tournaments because, you know, all of players were looking at you and they knew you were coming here as defending champion. I really wanted to win it. So, you know, there were many special surprises. And as you know, seeing this guy from Sweden, Rasmus, which was a surprise for me, was a tremendous player. Well, and all these guys which always are there up there. So it was a good battle that at the end I had the pleasure to get it back home.
Tell me about what a normal day of practice looks like for you.
Okay, I don't really wake up very early in the morning. I'm Spanish. So so I'll be in the golf course like 9:30, 10 o'clock to 2 p.m., I don't hit many balls. I hit maybe 150 balls a day, no more than that. Then I spend 1 hour chipping and then half an hour, 45 minutes putting. And then I like walking a little bit on the course. I like playing 4, 5 to 8 holes. And in the afternoon, I try to go to the gym every day, well, 5 sessions a week for an hour and a half. Maybe I have to go to the swimming pool, maybe to the gym. But every day I make something. And then if I have time in the afternoon, I go again to the golf course or some putting, some chipping. So I spend like maybe in the golf course like 5, 6 hours a day and then 1, 2 hours in the gym.
Have you got any goals or objectives that you might be able to share with us?
Yes, I would love to grow this game for us, and I think the way to do it is going into professionalism. So I would love to turn pro in the next few years. I don't know when exactly, because I have to believe in myself more than I do right now. I think I've got a very good game, but my brain has to trust it and to believe it. So at the moment that I have that in mind, I will be able to turn pro and you know, to play some circuits around Europe and around South America. So I'd love to do that. But, you know, I don't want to hurry. Maybe a few years ago, I was a bit more hurry about it. I'm now a bit more calm, and I think that we have to make the work before, and then whenever we feel ready to go, we'll go for it.
It seems like golf for the disabled is growing quite a lot, and so maybe there's going to be more opportunities in the future. So, I mean, that might be very good advice that you're giving yourself there. Tell me about, because you said about playing in South America. You've played a fair amount in South America, I think.
Yeah, it's very good for Spanish to play South America. It's really comfortable, very similar culture. And, you know, they want to grow disabled golf over there. So the way they are trying to do it, it's like copying our European system. It will get 15 years to get a little bit of what we got here, but they'll do it in Chile and Colombia. They are doing a very good, very hard work to go for it. So I'm there helping and playing tournaments so that they can see that we can also play, and so federations can support the game as they do here in Europe.
We already have Costa Rica as a member of EDGA, and we also have Argentina as well as a member of EDGA. And certainly it seems like there's quite a lot of growth in that area. And it definitely does seem like they understand that the value of bringing the game to a population which is starved of opportunities, particularly in golf, for people with disability. So I think you're doing a good job down there, and long may you continue to do that. With your past history of golf, which is, as I say, pretty good, and as I say, I see the trophies behind you now, so you've obviously won a few. What advice do you go back to when things get tough? Because in golf, it's a great leveler. It has this way of being able to bring you back down to earth very quickly. So is there any kind of go-to advice that you use when things get tough?
Patience. I mean, sometimes golf, it's I don't know which adjective to use, but it's like a stupid game. You know, sometimes you go out there to the golf course and you don't understand what's happening. I mean, your body's not working. Balls are not on the good way. But, you know, my coach, many, many days we've been out to play some golf. And on the third hole, he has told me, Juan, let's go for some putting. I mean, right. You know, it's not your day. So yeah. Let's go back and just forget the day, go to the gym. So patience, that you have to know that golf, it's I'm not reading at the moment a book written by the coach of Annika Sörenstam about being 54. And what they say that it's not technique. I mean, golf is it's life. And that is true. I mean, anything can affect on golf. So you have to be very patient and very calm about the game, knowing that no day is the same as the other one. I mean, you can today hit 70 and tomorrow you can shoot, 85. But so Tiger has to go through that, so why not us are going to go through that?
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely right. Do you like to read a lot?
I do. I don't really read about golf, but a friend of mine gave me that book, so I'm reading it.
So what do you read if you're not reading golf?
I love comics, you know.
Right, okay.
I'm like a little bit of a kid, and then I like reading things about police and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, cool. Get nice and relaxed.
Yeah.
What adjustments would you make to make golf more user friendly for golfers with disability, and why would you do that one?
Do what was on the golf course or what?
I think just generally, because I mean, clearly at this stage, golf is looking to try and bring in more people with disability to play the game. But I think there must be some adjustments that maybe need to be made to allow people to access the facilities more easily, and to actually to play the game as well. So yeah. We know that the golf course is a great leveler, and we know that these people with all kinds of disabilities can play. So there's no issue there. But obviously, to make it a little bit easier, is there anything that you would do?
I think the first thing we should do is to promote the game a little bit more. I mean, a lot of people really don't know what disabled golf is, and they don't really know that they can play the game. So that's the first step I think we have to go through. Then we have to filter the golf courses for disabled people, because there are some golf courses which, you know, Tony, as I do, that it's very difficult to go in.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some golf courses which are not accessible to many people, not disabled golfers, to all people.
Exactly.
Many people around the game. And then maybe teach the teachers a little bit more about disabled golf.
Right.
So they can also know that disabled people can play golf. Those are three things that I would really do about the game. And then what I think we are doing very good right now at EDGAL, what you are doing very good, is to select the golf courses we are playing in, which I think it's great, because we always play very good golf courses that everybody can reach the green in two, and very light for walking. And so what that thing there, that it's very good for that you are doing, so that everybody should copy that around the globe.
Yeah, I think they're not easy golf courses that we select, that's for sure.
It's not the same. Easy that are not accessible. I mean,
exactly.
Something very different.
Exactly. I mean, the golf courses are, you know, they're all good golf courses, and but you're right. Exactly what you say is we try to make it so that the length of the golf course is accessible for most people, and that if we can keep it reasonably flat, then we can kind of keep it reasonably flat if possible. But the quality of the golf courses, I think. You certainly have appreciated the quality of the golf courses that we play, and I think it seems to be that all the good players are very appreciative of the fact that they're not just put on a field to go and play, and they go and play on quality courses. So I think you make your point extremely well, and certainly we see some excellent performances on the golf courses, because certainly at the European Championship this year, your score was extremely good over what is a particularly challenging golf course in Troyer.
Yes, of course. You always select golf courses that you need much more than hit it far, you know, because I'm a long hitter for disabled golf,
yeah.
But I don't have the advantage that I could have it at some other golf courses, you know. So that's it. I think that's a really good point. You know how to move the ball right to left to right, low, high. So I think that's something you particularly always do very well. I mean... So that's a point that I have to congratulate you and Edgar for the selection of the golf courses.
Tell me, you mentioned there about moving the ball, and you move the ball extremely well. You can play all the kinds of different shots. But if you had to face a drive now going down the last hole, and I know that it depends on where the trouble is, and I know it depends on the situation, but I know all of that. But what's your stock shot? What's the one that you would play 9 out of every 10 times going down that last hole, having to hit the fairway?
3/4 swing left to right.
3/4 swing left to right. Driver?
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Cut it onto the fairway. Go to the saw, as they say.
Yeah. Not very far, but it will be there. Don't worry.
Yeah. So does that lead me nicely to the next question, which is what piece of golf equipment gives you the most joy?
Sandwich.
Ah, okay.
I love short game practice. I love my 58 degree or 56 or whatever I have in the bag. I really enjoy it, because it really let you create a lot of different shots in a very short length. So it's I think it's, for me, it's the most fun of the game.
How often do you wear the grooves out?
Now you can talk to Mike, but I used to 258 degrees a year.
So look, if you could play a four ball with anyone, dead or alive, I think I know who one of them might well be, but I'm not sure, but I think I know. Yeah. Who would your playing companions be and why? So you can, if you like, you can pick three, or you can even play four, because wherever we go and play, you'll be able to play a five ball if you like.
So my first pick would be my granddad, which I love him to see me playing like I'm doing right at the moment.
Yeah, I'm sure you would.
And Sevi will be the second one, of course, and I know you knew that one. Then the third one, I'd love to play with Tiger, which is something really, really special. As I'm a good Spanish, I would love to play with Oli, because I think that would be really special to get together to Oli. You look at my skin.
Yeah.
To get together to Oli and Sevi back together, that would be awesome. So that would be a really good four ball for me. It would be amazing.
Perfect. And if you could, this is a kind of an important question, I guess, but it's one that we ask a lot, and I think it's the thing that makes the Edgar profiles what they are. And it's, if you could magically be with someone who has a similar disability to yourself, what advice would you want to offer them?
For both?
For life or golf, I don't mind, but maybe for both.
For life, well, I mean, golf and life are quite similar, you know that. And the first thing I would say, whoever he is, that accept yourself as it is. I mean, you got one leg, you will always have one leg, so be happy with it. That's the first thing. And for golf, that's the first thing I would say to them. And the second is, if your opponent is playing 2 hours a day, you need to play four if you want to beat him. So that's 2 points I would give to that special person around me.
Excellent. Well, look, Juan, I know that you've had a busy day today, and so thank you very much for making the time. You've got an event that's coming up. I don't know if you want to share that event and talk a little bit about what your expectations are for that, but you're going to play in a European Tour sanctioned event down in Australia in a few weeks' time.
Yeah.
It's the Australian All Abilities Championship, which is being played on the same golf course, same tees as the European Tour event. You're going to be mixed up with all the tour players. There'll be 12 players that are playing there. You obviously are going there as one of our leading players. What are you looking for in that event?
I'm looking for the win, first of all. Then I think it's going to be a tremendous experience for all the 12 players going out there of the week. But I think it's going to be also an amazing experience for the two players we will be paired with. I mean, they are going to see the best of disabled golf in Europe and Australia. So I think that's going to be awesome for both of us, for them and for us as disabled players. And also, I think it's, as I was, you asked me before what to do for growing the disabled golf, it's going to be an amazing promotion of the game. I mean, they will see what golfers first or our athletes are, you know. So it's going to be, as we say in Spain, bomba.
Bomba.
It's going to be awesome. I don't have any more adjectives to add there. I think it's going to be a very awesome experience for all involved there. The disabled players and two players and the organizers and Edgar and Golf Australia for doing it. I mean, it's going to be awesome.
Excellent. Look, Juan, if people wanted to reach you, how could they find you?
Well, I'm quite active in social media, so I'm on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. Just tap my name, Juan Postigo Arce, so you'll find me there.
Perfect. Juan, thank you very much for your time. Really appreciate it, and I look forward to seeing you soon, and hopefully we'll get together and maybe we'll see you in Australia.
It will be a pleasure, Tony, to see you there.
Thank you very much. Take care, Juan. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.